Do you hear me that way, or should I move? So, better? Okay. Yeah, welcome to an old topic, actually. All you old guys will remember, it's not the first time we speak about this. But it would be something new for Factory if we would use Git there, so there's also a new aspect there. So why at all suddenly we speak about it? So what's our motivation here? It's a generic thing that we could enable more people because new people, new to OpenSUSE, don't need to learn our tooling and they can stick with their Git tooling, they can do what they understand from GitHub and so on. So the learning curve would be not so high. That hopefully leads to the case that more OpenSUSE contributors come. Also operations, known operations, you know, from your development workflow that you can cherry pick, that you can compare branches and so on, would be more easy as with OSC at the moment, which is more SVN-like, where you compare basically the different branches via the project names, mostly. But of course, we have also to admit there's of course also, so SUSE has also some interest here business-wise because there are requirements from the from various security certifications and also requirements in the embedded edge space that we need or may need to switch to a known technology because on all these standards which are written meanwhile, they basically consider Git as given. And each time we have something different, we need to argue that it's as good or not. On. So it would be easier also for all these business things that if you can say, yeah, we have Git, it's okay, check mark. So that's also a motivation here. And with ALP, we have actually now the chance, from my point of view, to change it. Because once ALP is out, changing the way how we storage sources and so on would be then the next generation of CodeStream. It's very hard to change the way to how to store sources during the runtime of a distribution because we always need to guarantee fully compatibility and it would be, I do not want to say it's impossible afterwards, but it would make it way harder. Yeah. So what do we speak about? So that's the current situation. Everyone who is doing some packaging knows it most likely. We have a build service, so build OpenSUSE org in most cases. We have a project and there's a package inside and in the package are sources. The package, I added the Docker file first because a package is not necessarily an RPM package. It can be also an image description or anything else. But there are the source files and all is tied together into one place in build service, sources and binaries. And that's wonderful for plenty of reasons. However, what we like to do is to separate it, to separate the sources from the binaries and move the sources to a separate instance to some kind of an OpenSUSE Git service server. And OBS would just trust this particular Git server to 100%. So it's the same as with storing the sources inside of OBS. So therefore, we must, of course, also have an instance which we absolutely can trust here. It's not decided. So a lot of stuff is not decided. We are in the early phase and we are evaluating a lot of stuff, and I will come to that later. When you have code OpenSUSE in mind, there is code OpenSUSE.org already there. But it's not necessarily this OpenSUSE Git I'm speaking about here, because currently code OpenSUSE.org is just an export from OBS into some Git representation, but it does not mean that it's in a form that we can use or that we can trust it. So that's still an open area what we need to evaluate. And one step further would actually be that we also separate Our SUSE special files, so our build descriptions, with the original sources from upstream. So that we do not actually store tarballs in our Git anymore, but just reference them. There are two reasons basically for that. For one, the plain Git is very bad with large file blobs. And you, when you do a Git clone, you do not want to download all tarballs from the last 20 years for sure. And the other reason for that is that we, in that way, we can also really track these assets, what we need for providing these kinds of bill of materials, and to increase the trust in the way how we build up our sources actually. So, unusually for such a talk, I start with a good part. So, you may remember some mails from us in December and January. Quite some stuff is implemented in build service. So these are these mails with these SCM sync tags. And what's already working is that you can define a package, or you can take any package in build service and say, actually, I don't want to upload sources here anymore. I just reference any random external Git server. And the OBS would take, then take it. So it's similar to what is done before with the source services, just that there, in this case, there's really no single own source here anymore, and really everything, including the spec file, must come directly from this Git server, Git repository. This works for single packages, and it works also for entire projects. So one Git repo and everything, and in theory, an entire distribution is inside. We have also this tool pbuild. So it's part of the build script, and the p is a bit undefined. Michael, I'm not sure what the current idea of the p is. Maybe we even rename it. But there is a tool called Project Builder out there already, so it's a bit problematic. Anyway, this tool is similar to the build script, but expects multiple packages actually. So and you can locally build interior in an entire distribution with it, and you can even mix spec files with Docker files with Kiwi files and so on. So that's a good thing. The bad part, why not everything has been switched, is for one, we have no official OpenSUSE Git hosting yet. As mentioned before, the code OpenSUSE.org is a good approach of Bernhard how to represent our sources with Git, but you can't contribute back there. So that's something what we need to invest time in. Also, there is absolutely no workflow to submit something, so there's no pull request, no merge request, and anything. Also, stuff what we need to work on and to discuss how it should look like and so on. But the even more basic thing, what I personally would start with, is to discuss how we actually organize the sources at all inside of these Git repositories. And I come to that later. However, to have something nice, you can actually already start today. You can have a package in some random Git server, and it doesn't matter which one, and you can use it in your own package in your project at the moment. And I'm really want to motivate you to try this, to play around with it, to learn something, because there's so different ways how to set it up and to learn. And we need the feedback, we need the input, and we need a discussion how we want to organize these sources, actually. With the OSC 0.178 released yesterday, so unlikely that you are, or 2 days ago, I don't know, so unlikely that you have it already. However, with that one, you can, even when you have such a package, you can check it out, and you basically you don't get an OSC checkout, you get a Git clone in the end. So you can go inside, work with all your Git tooling, and you can run OSC build inside. And yeah, it's not perfect. So it's the OSC will still put some .osc files inside you don't want to have in your Git and so on. So you most likely want to have a Git ignore file for that and so on. So it's not perfect. But you can check it out, you can local build it, you can commit it, you can push it. OBS can then build the package. And you can even submit it to factory. When you submit it using OSC submit requests, you need to specify the target. And once it is in factory, all the information about the Git tree is actually lost because it has been turned into a classic OBS CPIO archive internally and so on. However, you can work with your package in Git. Your contributors can work there, and you can submit it. So that's the positive part. No one stops you at the moment from doing that. And the mentioned package is just a proof for that it works. So next most important thing from my point of view is that we discuss how we want to organize the sources inside of these Git repos. Also because I personally believe that our workflows later on may depend on it. And yeah, it's a good thing to start. So what, and just a proposal, just a personal idea. How it could look is that we have multiple branches. We could have the GA version with the tech maybe. We could have the different official branches. We may or not may not have the official devil branch inside of the same Git repo. Or we argue that no, it should be separated. It should be another Git repo due to permission handling. But we could also at least with some Git hosting, it would be also possible that we protect only a special Git branch and have different permissions there. But again, that's all up for discussion. And of course, yeah, and this GOO does not exist. So don't think of code openSUSE.org, please. It's something which it might be Pagua, it might be GitLab, it might be Garrett, whatever. That's also completely undecided yet. Some Git server, but everybody must be able to go there, must be able to branch, and must be able to contribute. That's the important thing. Other things to decide. Well, maybe we don't need to decide it actually, but there are different ideas. So do we want to keep these patch files, spec file plus spec file, patch files? We could store that in the same way in the Git repo. We could keep working with Quilt and so on. That's one way. We could have some Git repository somewhere and we actually generate these patch files from individual commits. Or for some packages, it's most likely also very tempting to work in place. So you use your normal development Git and you put just the packaging files inside and you have just one Git repo for packaging and for developing. So especially the Yast people, for instance, who anyway design their code for the build system might be tempted to do that. There is little bit the problem with that approach that, I mean, the reasons why we need tarballs still in most cases is because at the moment we have the policy that we need to ship source packages, source RPMs, and RPMs can't package subdirectories at the moment. So for me personally, it's a question if we actually want to stick with source RPMs. Not sure, maybe. Maybe we can drop them for future distributions and just say, that's a Git URL, you're fine. If you want to stick with source RPMs, then we still could think about how to generate these tarballs and during build time. It's also a possibility. The examples I mentioned, I sent you, you will see that the source RPM is actually incomplete at the moment. It's using a Git repo, and it references the Git repo, but the content of the Git repo is not part of the source RPM, so it's not complete. That's, from my point of view, the worst decision to have an incomplete one. Either have it incomplete or drop it entirely. But again, it's not the discussion, or that's not the topic of our build systems people. That's a discussion which need to be happen in inside of the distribution. So who thinks we should still keep source RPMs, and or we could just reference some Git repo? Yeah, but we are speaking about the next generation, the brave new distribution where we can try things.
I think it's even next generation.
Okay.
But I guess the question is if we allow to git push minus f. So if we do,
yeah,
that, you will need the source RPMs.
Yeah. That's a good topic. I come to that later, yeah. However, I don't see the connection with the source RPMs. I mean, because you think then it's... Yeah. Okay, just for the record, the fear is that the sources are more or less lost or in the access when the force push happened and you can't get it easily from the Git anymore. Okay.
The GPLv2 might also be a consideration, which was more stricter in the terms of where to make the sources available than the GPLv3. So that by having the source RPMs, we have
yeah.
the same location.
Yeah.
As the binary RPMs and are therefore safe, if we actually say, well, hey, the sources are located on a different Git repository server,
yeah.
then that might be legally.
Yeah, so just to repeat it, the comment was that the license must be, of course, fulfilled, and we might be enforced to deliver the sources via the same mechanism as the binaries. But I think there are valid ways around it or to fulfill it. But okay, maybe it's too deep here. I do not want to go too, but I think it's a discussion we should have. That's all I want to raise at the moment.
I eagerly wanted to switch to Git-based working with spec files. I'm not sure whether we have to ditch SRC RPMs at the same time. Probably not.
No, the comment is valid. We do not have to ditch source RPMs at the same time. However, I mentioned three different models how you could organize your Git sources. And there is also, so one of these three possibilities is that you basically do not create a tarball anymore. It saves you time. If it's very large packages, it saves you time creating the tarball, do the compression, and so on. So it's for large packages, in the devil packages, there are plenty of hacks avoiding this, speed-wise. Yeah, still.
Yeah.
I can only speak for myself, but I can tell you for some of my packages like FreeCut and so on, I do alone the time until often I just debug how the configure is called, and when it really the compression time of 10-15 minutes just to try something out is bothering me. But okay, that's
one thing I want to point out is that there's probably not one show fits all solutions.
Right. Yeah.
So the
comment was basically that we may decide also in the distribution that each package can decide on its own, then only the argument is still valid that we still need to ensure that we have fulfill the license requirements, of course. But yeah, we must not. There's no reason that we really must insist on a single option here, right? We could have it in parallel per package. Yeah, some more.
And those don't necessarily get resolved in the Git repo, or they have other mechanisms for bundling sources and copy libs. It gets really complicated when you basically directly depend on the developer workflow to actually initialize the repo, the code to build.
Yeah. So I think we all agree it heavily depends what you can do on the upstream development way of building. Yeah. That might be, but frankly, we are speaking here for OpenSUSE. We should really have OpenSUSE factory. What do we want here? How do we want to grow this project? And that's a problem of the other people. let's focus on our thing here. The other people are also me, but I try to split my personality here. So for OpenSUSE, definitely let's discuss what makes sense for factory.
Is there upstream Git repository will be cloned in OpenSUSE
mirror?
You have to.
There's no other way around it.
Yeah.
You have to mirror each and every Git server you're using somewhere.
Then
because if you don't store it locally, you have no guarantee the upstream will still be there tomorrow.
What's currently happening is, I mean, this SCM sync mechanism internally currently is not so. It's in the end is also a special kind of source service. So for now, OBS will in any case have a full copy of the sources at the point what it builds for. Later on, we might discuss that we maybe not need it because we have it also in some self-controlled Git and we clone there and so on. But we really need to go step by step here.
If we clone the upstream repository, that means we have the old sources.
So
we don't need to provide a source table at all.
That's true. No, that's one of the scenarios is you clone from, so if it's not your own upstream project from someone else, but you clone it and you push it again to this Git OpenSUSE org, and then you might create a branch on top of it, where you put your spec file and changes, then there's a full copy there, and there's no need that we still need the source appearance. That's true.
Yeah, and so then we have the possibility to export that cloned repository from our side. Then it means that it fulfills the license requirement for that.
I think so as well.
Yeah,
I think so. I'm not a legal guy, but I think we would be fine with that. That's a valid point,
Also, as we do not live in an ideal world, perhaps at some point, better version control system comes up, and then we only have the version control system, not the source RPM. So,
or what about when a project uses a word?
So if the next generation source revision system comes up, then we need to discuss how to support this as well in addition. But I fear a bit that until our end of lifetime, working lifetime, we still have to deal with Git somehow. So I think no one of us will stop using Git. Maybe it's something new is in addition there, but it's so broadly used meanwhile. Yeah, further interesting topics, and I don't have any answer, just raising them. So the biggest thing is what I mentioned before. If we decide to use tarballs, for instance, and we put them directly into Git, so A Git clone would usually, by default at least, clone all iterations, so that's definitely not something what we can live with. Also no partial clone. But you can't, I mean with OSC you can just say I have a size limit per file and you clone only the spec file, so I could even work on Deutsche Bundesbahn with OSC. Of course you can reduce it, and there are other ways like a large file system or IPFS and or a look-aside store like Fedora has implemented it. That are all possibilities. And Michael actually implemented support for the Fedora's look-aside store in the build script in the asset handling. So that's definitely something what we can play with. Later on we will also need to discuss how we implement then the reviews, if we do it in not via a submit request anymore, but maybe we want to make it even more transparent. So one of the ideas is that we use signed tags for review steps, just as an example. But in any case, you would need to discuss how to implement all these review implementations we have at the moment, and in the GitLab, Garrett, Pagua, whatever instance. Also, a good point which was raised is, do we allow force pushes, basically? So that boils down with the changes file. So the changes files are the commit log for the end user. So we don't want to see something fixed typo in it. We want to read, I updated two versions because of, or I fixed something what the end user can use. And we also want to fix changes files, therefore, so the older revisions of the changes files. So the disadvantage if we export it from Git commits, I mean, sure, we could mark in Git commits what should be end user readable and what not. But we can't fix old entries if we don't allow force pushes. Okay, Neil points out that there are obviously some extensions and could provide additional code to support this, nevertheless, via some additional layer. Okay, that's fair.
There's also Git notes, I think.
Git notes?
Just annotate like an existing commit with some additional text.
Okay.
Which then gets stored externally.
Okay. Yeah. I do not claim to have any answer here. I just want to raise the topics what we need to think about if we move over. So, and I want to mention, so as part of the ALP working groups, a number of people looking into things. But first of all, we for the edge area, mostly Michael implemented the pbuild some months ago. And we have some examples below wgeekito.org. And so there are just some simple examples where you can, the goal was you can clone the build script on any Linux distro or on WSL on Windows. You can clone some configuration, so that's a Raspberry Pi image here. And when you look into it, you see there's one RPM package inside, so I have a spec file and a Kiwi image and nothing else, I believe. And the pbuild, you can just call pbuild inside, and based on the configuration there, so in this special case it's based on some OpenSUSE lib, it will use that as a base, build the RPM package and build afterwards the Kiwi file. And the very same Git repo builds also in build service. So the same, more or less the same result you get from pbuild works also in build service. So it's an alternative implementation in the end. Other experiments, so we experiment at the moment how to convert sources from build service into Git, because initially we will need to convert a lot of sources. So there's this DevilAlp project, which is basically a converted DevilLeo project. So the Alp people are working there. And it's automatically converted spec files. It drops the tarballs or files where it finds remote URL references. So it can skip the binary tarballs and is importing it. And what you can see at the moment that the build service claims it has 63 broken packages, so broken sources, and the reason for that is that we have invalid URLs actually in our packages in factory. So out of these 1,000 packages. But it's a good proof. It's a proof that the mechanism works because it works for the rest, and that we really should, I personally would like or want to promote that we allow to use these as download asset mechanism for factory packages in general, also to validate all these references. And that can happen independent of Git, actually. So that's a mechanism, so this asset handling is an, we may need it for Git as a base because we need to reduce the size of our packages and we can't deal with all the large tarballs. But in general, it makes also very much sense to use it from my point of view with a native source management of build service. And I want actually to write a proposal to the factory mailing list that we enable this for factory. But that's, yeah, let's discuss that there. And currently, Kulu is also working on an other approach of importing all the sources, and he tries to replicate all the branches, but also each commit, so that all these OC commit and submit requests are then readable inside of Git as commits and also as merge requests. Yeah, he has not so good mood at the moment, but he's a good guy. He will succeed, I'm sure. So, yeah, so just to follow up on the remote asset support. So what's different with the remote asset support than with the source services we have? So there's an overlap. Because we have, you can reference remote tarballs, you can reference remote Git repos, same what you can do with source services. The advantage is that it's built in the build script, so you do not need anything else. Like mentioned before, this is simple script, you run it and you get a result. You definitely never need to install additional things. On the other side, it's also the disadvantage because with the source services, you can implement a service which runs any kind of source generator, any large file, any large kind of huge code blob. And with the build script, we are less flexible here. So it's not a black and white thing. However, why it's also important for us is we work on this bill of material generation, which is required for, and especially in the embedded area, where we need to document where all the parts of the package are coming from. And therefore, we must ensure that we have some parsable information where we take sources from. And yeah, there's a URL for more details. That's basically the same what I mailed around in December. There are three examples how such a package could look like. One example is classic spec file and tarball downloaded via a remote asset. Then one could have a remote Git directory, a Git repository as a subdirectory more or less. Or if you own your code anyway on your own, then you may work in place inside of the Git. So I do not go into details, it's more for looking into it. Yeah, and I also want to mention the ALP workflow group. So that's a pretty empty page at the moment, but we collect content there and will document what we are looking into. And I hope more people are motivated or want to work on play with all the new mechanics or suggest yet another mechanic we should support and how to implement. So please excuse that I rushed around, but it was not much time. Any more comments?
Just that I am now in the situation that I will have to maintain my Python orange box because I'm a maintainer of Python.
Okay.
And so, but what I mean seriously is that I would love to have some idiot-proof guide how to maintain a package with Git. Is there anything like that?
I can't give you that. We need to develop it together, and there won't be a single answer from our point of view. I mean, that's we are playing around with it, and we don't know right now. But that's a good thing that we can start by package, and we can do it with each package different, and we can collect experiences. And I would really motivate and submit something and try to update it, and we will see. No, the spec file would be directly in this Git repo.
The spec file is there.
Yeah.
There is no service file.
No, sir.
In the meta package. In the package meta, so if you go to the meta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meta package is a tag called STM.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we can also look in.
The package meta, so if you use OSC meta.
Maybe
I
just quickly show it.
Can we. Disadvantage at the moment. The disadvantage at the moment. No. Doesn't work. Why? I tried. Focus. Focus problem. Doesn't work for whatever reason. Yeah, that's what I was trying to, but okay, no, sorry. And the current state, the disadvantage is definitely that it only stays in your devil package, and when you submit requested to factory, this information is lost. But that's, I think it's acceptable for a migration period. I mean, in the end, we definitely do not want to use submit request for this anymore, but merge request or pull request or whatever. Okay. So who is looking forward to it? Who fears it? Okay. More people looking forward to it. Okay. But I really like to repeat what I said initially. I think we have one chance at the moment with ALP. With ALP, it's a smaller distribution. We can, at the moment, be more brave there. We can try things, but we should do it before it freezes. Otherwise, it really becomes hard to change it. So if you're really looking forward to it, then please, please play around with it, give feedback, re-implement stuff, maybe.
It's your chance to shape the future.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay, no more questions? Thank you.